fighting for America.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We rejoice that our new members and families are here. We want to welcome them. We're glad and humbled to begin anew as servants of the people's house.
Fighting for Idaho.
Would you be willing to advocate for a tax increase to improve the school budget situation?
I will tell you that I am interested in exploring every opportunity for increased revenue for our schools.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, you're an excellent resource and advocate for gun rights. And you help people hear these issues and understand them and get the word out.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Thank you all for joining us. A privilege and honor to be with you. K. Millie in the Morning at 580 KIDO. One big story that we will get to, and it's kind of tough for me because some people say, well, you just don't like this guy. And, you know, I'm like a lot of folks. I'm disappointed in him. But, look, he's his own man, and if you don't believe that, he'll tell you that. That's Congressman Raul Labrador, who voted yesterday for John Boehner. And we have a poll at 580 KIDO. Did Labrador do the right thing? Did Congressman Labrador do the right thing? And we've had people voting on it last night. I'd put it up last night when I saw that. I saw your reaction to it on Facebook and social media. And basically, you go to our website, and under it, did Labrador do the right thing? And you can vote this way. Yes, we love Speaker Boehner. He's the best ever. No, Labrador made the wrong move. I would have voted for Brian Harsin, or my personal indulgence, I would have voted for Kay Milley. So, by the way, you can go there, vote all day long. Right now, 89% of you have said that Labrador made the wrong move, and I'm kind of tied with Speaker Boehner for second. And we will talk about that. I think we expected a little more of the congressman, but he is his own man. But we will get to that. That's at 580kido.com. With us now is a young man that I have had the privilege of interviewing for many, many years, even when I was a baby talk show host, now going on my 20th year in New Hampshire. And that is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. Larry, you're the one constant in an ever-changing media universe. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Nice to be described that way.
Well, I mean, you've seen a lot of things in your day. We've had some great victories on the Supreme Court when it comes to gun rights and gun ownership, and you've been at the forefront of that to make sure that our Second Amendment is strong. And you'd think in a country where it is the Second Amendment, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But that's not the case.
Well, one reason it was written down is because it was perceived that there would always be threats to the various liberties of the people, hence the Bill of Rights that we enjoy as part of our Constitution, the Second Amendment being part of that. The founders understood that government is constantly seeking to expand, to control. There's a tendency to tyranny, even among good people. They just think that they know better than the rest of us. And that's why we have a Second Amendment, which is to provide the tangible means to remind those that we've extended some of our power to them to administer on our behalf, that doesn't belong to you, bud, and if you start thinking that it does, we can take it back.
Well, and certainly we need to do that now more than ever, but let's get to the big case on this, these protests, the violence against the police. It started off in Ferguson. Now it's trickled to New York and other places. Is this open season on the cops?
Well, I certainly am glad I have another line of work because putting that badge on makes you a target. And these guys and gals are out on the front line. And when there is chatter among the chattering class, certainly Al Sharpton being one of the more prominent in that regard, that directs dislike to the police. I mean, give me a break. I'm certainly not somebody that's going to give a rogue officer a pass, and I want to come down on them like a ton of bricks because they have such an important position. When they abuse it, they really need to be dealt with severely. But we're talking about, as you put it, open season on cops. That this dirtbag was encouraged to travel to New York City by what he didn't need a whole lot of encouragement, and his religion sort of inclined him to hate people that weren't other Muslims. So he was sort of pre-programmed, if you will. And in that environment, he hears people talking about how the police have been a problem for our community all these years. So he travels to New York, and he finds a couple that aren't looking at him. They were actually surveilling for another suspected crime scene. That's why they were in that patrol car where they were, when they were. And he killed them right on the spot. That I don't know that that would have necessarily happened had there not been the encouragement perceived by the dirtbag that pulled it off.
Right, and you know, the idea that this dirtbag does this deed, there is no accountability. He takes care of himself, if you will. And then you have de Blasio, the mayor, who has launched a war on police, and now all of a sudden saying, well, I really didn't mean it, and it's disrespectful to turn your back on me. Really, aren't we attacking the very institutions that keep us safe, Larry?
Yeah, and I think the mayor doesn't like the idea that ideas and words have consequences, and he was perceived by the police union and the members of the union of having been fomenting hatred, active hatred against the police, and it seems to me that they're disrespecting him when they view him as having been a contributing factor, not the guy that pulled the trigger, clearly, but a contributing factor, somebody who might have actually encouraged the deed. Yeah, I would say turning their back on him is it's certainly understandable, and I'm not sure that that's the most that he deserves. It's a shame there's no form of impeachment available for a mayor in New York City.
Larry Pratt with us, Gun Owners of America. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Want to remind everybody it's very foggy out, so please be very careful. Larry, let's take a look at the president and his stance on the guns. Every time there's a tragedy like what we're hearing about in France and other places, you know, the president comes out and says, well, I tried. We've heard him threaten executive orders and having done so with the illegals. Could he make a move on guns?
Well, to a certain extent, he has already. It's an Operation Choke Point that he set up. It was designed to use some of the financial regulatory agencies of the federal government to put a choke on, if you will, the firearms industry. Namely, gun stores are having a very difficult time, sometimes simply can't get loans from their banks. We got a call maybe about a month ago from a store owner. He had just gotten his business started. He had everything set, ready to go, needed an inventory loan so he could buy a bunch of guns and offer them for sale in the store. And the bank told him, you're not going to be able to get a loan because of the kind of business you're in. So they didn't even have some subterfuge that he wasn't sufficiently capitalized or blah, blah, blah. It's because of the business you're in. And there's maybe a dozen or so businesses that are in this dangerous category invented by the federal government. And that's how it's working out. And it's the hope of the administration, obviously, is having a choke point, cutting off the flow of needed operating loans to the firearms industry, particularly the retail end of it. Then you choke off the supply of guns. And President knows he's not going to get anything through the Congress, but he's a resourceful fellow, and he's doing everything that his mentors Cloward and Piven at Columbia University were telling him, sort of applied Saul Alinsky. This is how you bring the system down. You make it so that it can't operate anymore until it collapses, and that provides the moment for the communist revolution.
Let me hit you with this here. By the way, Larry Pratt with us. If you have a question, 580-5436. He is with Gun Owners of America. What about the move on ammunition to tax ammunition, to price it out of existence? So, hey, you can buy as many weapons as you want, but you're not going to be able to use those weapons because there won't be any ammo.
Well, I don't see them getting a tax through at the federal level, but I do see something that's a little bit more indirect but equally difficult for the consumer of ammunition in the private market, and that is that because the federal government has such an enormous, cancerous growth of federal police agencies, the Department of Homeland Security alone has over 100,000 badge-wearing, gun-toting agents, and that's just one department, 100,000. Well, assuming routine target practice, my friend, that's a lot of ammunition, and that's put an enormous pressure on the market. And for a while, it was almost impossible for people to get ammunition, and at least the last time I tried to see if I could get some 22 for some of my grandchildren, not available.
Yeah, it was really, everybody was speculating on that. It was a hotter stock than gold.
I have a bumper sticker on my desk that says lead, the other precious metal.
Larry, we continue on here at 580 KIDO. You've been to Idaho. You've spoken here. How do you view the gem state as far as, you know, being friendly towards the guns?
Well, it's a state where I think people overall really appreciate having firearms, and I think they, a lot of them understand why we have them as a tangible way of making sure that the government stays within its bounds, so that if it were to forget those bounds, then it can be held in check. We saw, there's a movie called The Battle of Athens about an episode in 1946 in Athens, Tennessee, where a bunch of corrupt politicians had taken over the town of Athens, and returning veterans decided they were going to do something about it and formed a, if you will, a kind of pickup militia and drove the corrupt politicians out of town armed. There as actually was a brief gun battle. And if you see the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of the movie, you see all this rather dramatically portrayed. Hollywood made a movie of this actual historical event. More recently, there was a standoff in Bunkerville, Nevada, where the Bureau of Land Management, ostensibly to collect fees that hadn't been paid by a rancher grazing his cattle on federal lands, which shouldn't be federal lands, we might add, was faced with armed SWAT teams from the Bureau of Land Management. Why the Bureau of Land Management should exist, A, and B, should have police powers, where you don't see that in the Constitution, beats me. But there they were with lots of machine guns and black battle clothing. And eventually, the feds had to stand down. It was interesting. I was invited to go to a news conference at the ranch by the head of Oath Keepers, who had been one of the key fellows organizing the people coming to the ranch to protect Clive and Bundy, the rancher. And Saturday morning in my car, I get a call from Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keeper saying, well, we've canceled the Monday news conference. I said, what? I said, yeah, the feds have gone. Nobody's here. The ranch is now back to normal. And that was an amazing display of the Second Amendment right there. And by the way, very dramatic moment. Just not long before I had gotten that call, unarmed ranchers, men and women, had been riding toward the corral where the cattle had been penned up to set them free, and armed BLM agents had fingers on triggers, guns trained on those ranchers. And the sheriff of the county was feckless, but happily one of his deputies went up to the BLM and said, do you guys want to be known as the folks that gunned down unarmed men and women? And that seemed to awaken a conscience in those folks, and they rode away. And that's when I got the phone call, don't come out. But that was the Second Amendment. That's what it's intended to do. And to my great surprise, perhaps, America's still alive.
Well, and you know, and Clive and Bundy says one thing that's politically inappropriate, and he's vilified for that. Larry Pratt, please stand by, our great friend from Gun Owners of America. Kevin Miller in the morning. If you have a question about gun rights, 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We urge you to go to our website, 580KIDO.com. We'll be talking about this coming up. Did Congressman Labrador make the right move by voting for Speaker John Boehner? Larry Pratt with us now, Gun Owners of America. What do you make of the vibe, the grassroots versus the establishment? Where do the gun owners side on this? You're a nonpartisan group.
We had urged the defeat of Boehner. There were certainly others that were putting themselves forward. Daniel Webster became the key, the principal recipient of opposition votes. And then there were a scattering of other people that got, other members that got votes from dissident members of the House. But the takeaway, I guess, from what happened yesterday is that John Boehner is the first Speaker of the House in almost 100 years to have this kind of open dissent at his tenure. People are not satisfied in his caucus. They're not satisfied with him acting more like a Democrat than with the party that was brought in on a wave of popular revulsion to what has been going on here in Washington. People don't want business as usual, and a lot of people are going to view the reelection of Boehner as the Republicans saying, business as usual. That's really not very acceptable, and I think there's going to be consequences. The early warning system that may have been ignored was the defeat of Eric Cantor, the number two Republican in the House, by David Bratt. Guy that came out of nowhere, a professor in the suburbs of Richmond, and took out Eric Cantor. That is something that conceivably could happen in other primaries this coming election cycle in 16. The idea that all is well and we can continue with the current management, really? This is the management that voted to fund the anti-gun amnesty decree that is going to put on a fairly fast track millions of illegal aliens in this country to make it where they can have a vote in our elections. This means that they can, all they have to do under the terms of this executive order is to go to Canada, come right back. That puts them on track for a green card. And of course, once you've got the green card, you're on track to be a citizen. And as a citizen, you can vote. Polling has indicated that 85% of these illegals are going to be Democrat anti-gun voters. Naturally, if they're willing to break the law, they're probably not great respecters of our traditions and our institutions and our Constitution, come from countries where there's no understanding of the precious heritage that we have as American free men. And so I think it's a very dangerous track that the Republican Party has put itself on. And the reelection of John Boehner, and unhappily Mr. Labrador's support of that, indicate that they're not sufficiently alarmed with the peril in which we find our country.
Well, there's an arrogance of having power, and we'll talk about it a little later, where Boehner is going to punish the people that voted against him. But, Larry, if your constituency told you to do something, chances are, if it was the right thing, you'd do it, yet you have over 60% of the Republicans, grassroots people in the country, saying Boehner's got to go, and their representatives went with Boehner.
Hopefully, if these members of Congress are indeed retaliated against by Boehner, they're most likely to be taken off committees. A couple of them have already been so removed, and that's going to actually free them. That's going to mean that Boehner won't have anything else he can take away from them, because he's taken away that which he can. And B, they're going to be free to organize and to agitate and to try to bring some reason to the Republican caucus that we didn't get sent here for business as usual.
Larry Pratt, if people want to get a hold of you for a good time, what can they do?
go to gunowners.org on the web. If you go to gunowners.org, you can sign up for our legislative bulletins, the alerts that we send out. We were advising people about this very vote earlier this week so that people were able to contact their members of Congress and say, don't do it. And we failed on this one, but other times it's made the difference in success. So if you want to be kept up to date, we'll embed email in those alerts. Go to gunowners.org and sign up.
Larry, take care. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Larry Pratt with us. And like I said, Larry's been at this for many, many years. Me, this is my 20th year in this format, in talk radio, the only format that I've done. And it's always nice to see people that have had that continuity, that consistency, certainly when it comes to something so important as the Second Amendment. Coming up next, a couple things. If you want to jump on the education bandwagon, we have the newly appointed or not elected or appointed, elected, not appointed, State School Superintendent Sherry Ibarra made her big statements yesterday. And did she say anything? And was anybody listening? And does that impact your kids and what they're taught in school? Or do you already miss Tom Luna? And by the way, let me be the first to say, you won't have Tom Luna to kick around anymore. And more on the shooting in France. Apparently, the shooters were yelling, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And this was, what, a week after they ran a satirical cartoon about the Prophet Muhammad? All of a sudden, 12 people are dead in this attack. A satirical newspaper runs something that many in this country would think that it would be okay because there's freedom of the press. Well, not so much in the radical Mujahideen world. They ran a cartoon, tweeted ISIS joke an hour before the attack, and the attackers yelling, Allahu Akbar, we have avenged the Prophet. Do we have any idea what we're up against? Why in the world would we be having a national conversation about two nitwits in a movie called The Interview when speech itself, freedom itself, is threatened? We'll talk about those stories and your calls next with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
Kevin, we're glad to have you back. It's been a long couple of weeks.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah.
Good morning, world. It's a brand new day.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget, coming up, your thoughts on Sherry Ibarra. School's back in session. New state school superintendent. Does that really mean anything? And you know, I love some of these folks that start talking about, well, I'm for Common Core, but I'm against some things in Common Core. And it's kind of like I'm for the troops, but I'm against the war. By the way, 28 in Meridian, very foggy out. Please be very careful. Very, very foggy. Probably the worst I've seen in quite some time. And like I said, I'm not worried about you because you're informed, you're alert, you're ready to go. I'm worried about the nitwits that, you know, listen to those other decadent things that rot their limited resources we call a brain. All right, getting back to this Sherry Ibarra thing, she had her news conference yesterday, and we'll kind of review that in a minute. She went on a listening tour, and look, we hope that everyone involved in politics does the right thing, but let's face it, you just heard Maggie reading the statement from Congressman Labrador saying that he carried the water for the conservatives for 4 years, and John Boehner told him that he'd be a good boy. So Congressman Labrador voted for John Boehner. You can vote on that at 580kido.com. Did Raul do the right move? A, yes, Speaker Boehner is the best ever. B, no, it was a bad call at the line of scrimmage. C, I would have voted for Brian Harsin. D, I would have voted for Kay Milley. And we'll talk a little bit about that and talk about John Boehner's revenge. And I meant to ask this to Larry Pratt, but I think the country's gone lib. I mean, Congressman Labrador's vote proves that. Linda and Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm calling about this woman up in Coeur d'Alene. If she's got a brain, she sure wasn't using it that day. How in the Sam Hill can you put a baby in a backpack carrier with a gun in it and not expect some kind of negative results? You know, I've been around guns all my life, but I, you know, my kids did not know where my guns were. That's the rule. But to have a 2-year-old shoot and kill his mother, and I wonder if this kid will ever remember this. I wonder if the family will ever get over this. And this is another ploy towards, you know, the anti-gun rights. When I heard that the other day, I about fell on the floor.
Well, we don't want you falling on the floor.
No, not now. But I just, you know, it's absolute insanity. I don't get how a 2-year-old could have the not quote-unquote knowledge to pick up a gun and pull the trigger unless somebody has taken this kid out shooting when daddy's gone out.
I think 2-year-old is a little tough to go out shooting. But, Linda, we appreciate your call.
Okay, Kev. Take care.
God bless. All right, our great friend Linda from Emmett. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And yesterday, if you missed it, most of us did, we have the Sherry Ibarra News Conference.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for coming. This is just so exciting to have this many folks here today interested in education.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to start out with a thank you to the great citizens of Idaho. I'm honored to stand here today as the superintendent of public instruction. Thank you to the transition team for all of their valuable input, their volunteered time, and their commitment to education. And thank you to all the school districts and educators in our great state. And also thank you to the staff at the Idaho State Department of Education for all the hard work they do as well. As we gather here today, we must commit to making our students' lives better because education happens at the local level. With that, the State Department of Education will renew our longstanding commitment to helping schools and students flourish. Coming from the front lines of education and the mother of a junior high-aged public school student, I understand the importance of service, compassion and kindness, and most importantly, how valuable a quality education is in ensuring a bright economy.
All right, I'm sorry, I couldn't take it anymore. Maybe I'm being insensitive. There's the insensitivity bell, but come on. Okay, enough of the victory laps, enough of the vitriol, enough of that you're a mom. Hey, God bless you. Great job being a mom. We didn't elect you to be a mom. We elected you to fix the system. And there has been more interest in education than in Boise State football, than Idaho politics in the past 5 years than we've seen. And quite frankly, thanking the press for being there, that's their job. You know, it's kind of like thanking the press for going to a football game. Look, they're hot dog eaters. They get free food. Now, I don't know if there was food at the Ibarra presser. But my own opinion, I found it unimpressive. And the idea that I'm going to hold a news conference, I'm going to announce my committee, and then I'm going to have a listening tour. I mean, come on. You've had a time since the election to get your act together. You know, what do we really need in education? Well, you talk to Stacey Knudsen, Stephanie Zimmerman, you talk to other folks, you talk to Senator Thane, and they want to overhaul the system. They're very concerned about Common Core, and that's outside the Glenn Beck program. They've got issues with it. They're tired of being ignored. Maybe this will cause, and I'm being self-serving here, maybe this whole issue of the politicians ignoring the people will cause for a renaissance, a revival in talk radio. Gosh knows the format needs something. And what I'm saying is, what do we have in common? Well, we had one candidate that was running for the state school superintendency that was against Common Core. Didn't work out well for him. So we elected a Republican who tells us she's a mom. Great for her. she's in favor of Common Core before she's against Common Core. And we have a congressman who now says that he was against John Boehner before he was for John Boehner. And quite frankly, to go against John Boehner would be stupid. Well, then, using his own definitions, was he stupid to go up against John Boehner 2 years ago when he voted present or tried to be a leader? Remember that when he ran for the whip job and he bragged about not having relationships? Is it taking him 4 years? I mean, no one else will say this. But, I mean, really, when Congressman Labrador starts talking about his loyal supporters, which the loyalty with him only works one way. I know that firsthand. And please don't talk to my family members anymore about talking some sense into me, sir. And that is a true story. Let me just say this, that when he talks about loyalty, it's a one-way street. So are we to deduce, based on his vote at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that he's had 4 years of being on the wrong votes, the wrong side, when he stood up and he was fighting for us against Eric Holder, Eric Cantor, and John Boehner? Think about that. By the way, you can always vote 580KIDO.com. Did the congressman make the right move in voting for Boehner or the wrong move? We will continue to tally that. Right now, it's overwhelming. It is the wrong move. But, you know, congressmen, senators, there has to be some humility with them. And when you say you're going to represent the people, you go down with the ship. Now, John Boehner has sought his revenge. We'll get back to that. And perhaps, you know, there's a deal in there to bring some pork to the first district. Gosh knows it needs it compared to the second district, how well they're doing. But I digress. Could we see a revival? And quite frankly, it's like the empire is struck back. You have Congressman Labrador, who is beloved or was beloved by conservatives, and, you know, it's a strategic move by him. Who's going to vote for anybody else in the first district? That's their philosophy. I mean, he hired the former guy from The Statesman that ran Senator Craig, that was the scourge of every conservative, God-fearing Republican, and now he's the spokesperson, and we're supposed to think that he's on the team? Well, what are you going to do? Well, it could be a revival of talk radio. On the other hand, you take a look at it, and I said this yesterday, I think the country has gotten more lib. The governor winning overwhelmingly, despite the planets aligned against him. Congressman Labrador, his most vocal critic, who endorsed Russ Fulcher, now all of a sudden is endorsing Governor Otter and John Boehner. Maybe for the last 4 years he's been wrong. Maybe he should admit that. What do you think? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Are you just tired of getting punched in the face? Sometimes I just kind of feel like this guy. Exactly. It is 28 right now in Nampa at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Foggy conditions. Caution is needed. Let's find out what's going on in traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:56, Kevin Miller in the morning. Did Labrador do the right thing? 580KIDO.com. No, Labrador made the wrong move. Yes, we love Speaker Boehner. He's the best ever. I would have voted for Brian Harsin. I would have voted for Kay Milley. And it's interesting, I go to the Kevin Miller personal page on the Facebook, and we put this up last night. And, you know, it's interesting when you put up these things, everybody starts promoting their own websites, which is quite frank, kind of disconcerting. But anyway, Greg Pruitt, our friend from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, no, bottom line is there's absolutely no reason to vote for Boehner. Extremely disappointed in Labrador. Hopefully you can get him on your show so you can ask why he changed from the last time. You know, he and I don't get along, so we're done. He knows why. I've told you why. There's really no reason. Now, if he wants to come in at 7 o'clock in the morning or at 8 o'clock like everybody else, sure. But as of right now, and if he did come on, it wouldn't be pretty. Ray Jr., sellout, tired of everyone who has been there for more than two terms. Our friends with the militia, so much for listening to your constituents, Labrador. We sure as hell did not want Boehner. He's playing politics just like they all do. but a big disappointment for sure. Saw hints of this in his last town hall meeting. Our friend Jeff, I need to like this, saying, recall Raul. Wow. So we'll see. Now, the big money is that whether you supported the congressman, whether you supported the governor, or you support anybody else, they're just going to say, what else are you going to do? Apparently, John Boehner, and again, nobody else will say this, and it's kind of like not being the Boise State Station. You can be liberated to say whatever you want, for good or bad. Look, here's the skinny on this. Apparently, according to the vote yesterday, and you're welcome to dispute it, Congressman Labrador is more afraid of John Boehner than you. Isn't that really what it comes down to? Boehner gets the bacon, dells out the bacon, and we get the pork. There's an optimistic view. Hey, how about some traffic? 6:59 coming up, Boehner's revenge, what it means for Idaho. Plus, should we let environmental regulations get in the way of having some planes, some fighter planes, here in the Treasure Valley? Details next with Kevin Miller. Good morning.